Let's come to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, shall we rise up to our feet in reverence to God's word, and we will read it together. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, go. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Lord Jesus, the word is yours. Break it and give it to us, that it might be a blessing to all God's people. Cover us under the shadow of your cross. As the word is ministered, let it have free flow, working into nations. I know, Lord, as you speak the word, it will go into nations. It will go into individuals. It will go into communities. And the name of Jesus will be exalted. We thank you for this grace upon our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Look to one another and say, praise the Lord. You have a good word today. You're having a good word today. Amen. Amen. Many of us, we struggle with our identity. We like to be accepted. We like to be called as a manager or a leader, isn't it? I remember the day when I joined my first company. They gave me a designation as trainee developer. But without their knowledge, the HR wrote senior developer. I was like, wow. Without any experience, I got the letter as senior developer. I kept it in my... let it be. Because what they promised was trainee, but at least the position of senior, probably I have so much of skills and intellect, more than Brother Bevin or somebody in that, to be straight away termed as a senior developer. But then the HR understood the mistake. After 2 weeks, she came and asked, hey, what is in your offer letter? I said, I didn't open and look much. You can... I didn't give much heed to that. And then she gave me a new offer letter. Well, I became a trainee again. We have these roles. What are we doing in our workplace? The positions, the roles. Many a time when homemakers also have this problem. What am I doing in the house? Who am I? Many people are working, earning. And I thank God for the homemakers. Amen. Because they make the family. I'm not against people working. But any time when you see that your children are in threat, take a call and be with your children. Because if whatever we gain, if we lose the whole... if we gain the whole world but lose their soul, there is no use. So we have an identity problem. What are we? Where are we? But have you ever understood that when we said yes to Jesus, when we said yes to Jesus, it's not one role which he gave. He gave us 4 different roles to fulfill in the kingdom of God. Amen. Everybody say 4 different roles to fulfill. Number one, but you are a chosen generation. Hallelujah. When you receive Jesus, that light which many people do not have, I want to tell you, you are having a mandate to be called as a chosen, handpicked by God. Just imagine, when many people are in darkness, when many leaders of the world cannot get into this light which you are in, you are a chosen generation. You are not abandoned by God. What joy it is to understand that we are never, never abandoned by God. But he chose us right from the mother's womb. And Paul goes to say that even before the foundations of the earth, he chose us in Jesus. We are a chosen generation. A chosen generation. Hallelujah. So don't think that you're in an abandoned generation. You are a chosen generation in Bangalore. Hallelujah. May that light dawn in your heart this morning. Whenever you go, tomorrow when you go to your office, don't forget about the Monday blues. Many people do not like to get up, you know, on a Monday. Before getting this job, you wanted something. But after the job, put your head high. And say, when I walk into that office, I am of the chosen generation.
Many people do not have that.
Probably in your company, you are the only one who is called by God to be the chosen generation. Every day be assured that you are chosen by the Lord, handpicked by God. Lift your hands and say, I am a part of the chosen generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people are given up by God. Given. God gave up on them. And that also, it's not God. Paul says in the verse before, Jesus has become an offense to them, a stumbling stone. Many people ask me, Pastor, why are you telling all these rules? Well, we are not telling much of the rules. If you go to some other churches, it's very bad, even more than us. The Bible says, let's go to the first one verse before that, brother. 1 Peter 2 and verse 8. Unto you which believe he is. So unto whom he is precious? Unto those who believe. How many believers are here today? You believe? You believe in the Lord Jesus? So when you believe, the Bible says, therefore unto you, therefore which believe, he is precious. Lord, you are more precious than silver. He's so precious. He go our precious Jesus. Everybody say, he's a precious Jesus. Oh, precious Redeemer, wonderful friend, more than any cloth which you have in your wardrobe, more than the expensive ornament that you wear, he is precious. Never lose sight of him. Hallelujah. Unto you who believe, he is precious. But there are some group of people which are called as disobedient. Disobedient. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling. See, I have seen of many people where Jesus has become an offense to them. Have you known some people? They could not follow the Bible. They're not able to have that and appreciate the change which God has given to them. So even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, and that last four verses are very important. Whereunto also they were. So this thing of predestination is quite tricky here. Without God's knowledge, nothing happens. Without God's knowledge, you would not have been here in this place. It's because you are not disobedient that you are here. It's because he is precious to you, you are here. And you are a chosen. That's why Peter is telling, but, everybody say, but. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Saudi king is in Indonesia. 450 tons of entourage means his limousines. His, when Saudi king goes, he goes with all his fleet. I was thinking, in the same way, if the Lord comes down, won't he come with all his multitude of people? I'm telling you, he's here. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear them and delivers them from all their evil. You know what is happening today here spiritually? As you are enjoying the word of God, the angel of the Lord is going and negating all the landmines where you can trip on and fall. Hallelujah. This week, all the attacks against you, the Lord is nullifying. Hallelujah. And you will walk on it as if nothing happened. All the threatening emails which you are about to get, all the bad remarks which you are about to get, the Lord is negating it all, because the Bible says when the king comes, he comes with all that he has. With all. And that's why Paul says, blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. So we are a chosen generation. Royal priesthood. When you say praise the Lord, it matters a lot to the Lord. You understand that? When you say from your heart, praise the Lord, you praise the Lord, and in this generation you are chosen to declare his praises. Amen. So every praise the Lord makes a difference. Every hallelujah makes a difference. So next time when you are in the traffic and when you see that red signal, what you should say? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because that time also, you keep praising the Lord. When you get a mail that is not what you expected, what you should say? When the manager who sent that mail, he will be looking at you. I sent this mail, but he is having some sort of reaction. When you get something like that, jump on your feet and say, praise the Lord. That's how you should do. Because we are not affected by these. We are a royal priesthood. We are called to say, praise the Lord. We are called to say, hallelujahs. At all times, hallelujah. Somebody who believe that you are the carrier of praise in this generation. Hallelujah. Amen. Only one. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A royal priesthood. Next, a holy nation. We are a holy nation. In India, we are a nation. A nation within a nation. A holy nation who has God, a holy God as her king. And a peculiar people. Say a peculiar people. People will say, this fellow is a peculiar guy. We do not know what it is, but some peculiarity is there. That's so. Never have an identity crisis. You have four roles to fulfill. Amen. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. And we are out of a zone of darkness into His marvelous light. Very quickly, I want to take you to how do we live in the light of Christ? How do we live in the light of Christ? Let's come to Luke chapter 9. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9. How do we live? That is the topic which we have. Luke chapter 9 and verse 28 onwards. 1-2 go. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. The Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus was a friend to them. Jesus spoke the matters of the kingdom with them. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus cleansed the lepers. And this Jesus whom they followed, they were somehow not aware of who this man was. See, many a time we are unaware of this Jesus whom we follow. The more we learn about Jesus, the more we live in His light. The more we learn about Jesus, the more we live in His light. Paul says, I have not caught Jesus. I have not apprehended. In Philippians 3:14. It's not that I have already caught hold of him, but I am pressing on that I might win Christ. What is your goal? To win Christ, that I might be found in Jesus. See, all that matters is not your promotion. All that matters is not your job increment, but the moment when you breathe your last, to be found in Jesus. That's the greatest goal of you. In His own time, the Lord called us. But the spiritual goal of you should be to be found in Jesus. To be found in Jesus. Because He is the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. To be found in Him. Can we read that verse? Philippians chapter 3. How many of you are being blessed? See, I'm going to take you into a journey. I don't know how much time we have, but we have to go there. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Yea, doubtless. Everybody say doubtless. Some people have some doubt. It's okay. But Paul says doubtless. What is this doubtless? He's saying, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, action plan for you. What do you think is profitable in your life? Wife, children, job, car, bungalow, all these things. But what Paul is telling is, compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, I count them all. What? Loss. It's a loss. See, if you have not learned to count it at loss, you haven't gained the knowledge of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said, praise the Lord. See, Christ is a person whom we need to live by faith. So, set your priorities today. What do you think is so precious? Yesterday I spoke to one dear friend who said, Pastor, my wife was my God. Yeah. No, he was going through that bad situation, terrible situation. He loved her so much. He's going through a big marriage problem. They are divorced. Almost the divorce. I was sad. And I told him, friend, leave the Lord, leave it to the Lord. Ask the Lord to heal you. But one thing I have always understood, the Lord will never let us walk independently. Time and again. From the time when we started the church, there were many people who were there who said, Pastor, I will be with you. Like a pillar, like a pillow. In fact, pillars became pillows. See, nobody is giving their life for the church. Tomorrow if Ashwin says, the people say, hey, Ashwin, go to Germany. He will say, Pastor, I am blessed. As if I am cursed here. Last week, one dear sister was telling, Pastor, Sapphire leaders are all getting blessed. They are going. I said, what are you telling? So am I cursed here? Suddenly these revelations strike, you see. Being in shelter houses. That's what they meant. Without their knowledge. Let me tell you one more thing. If a person, from shelter house, my experience, if a person is doing the work of the Lord half-hearted, he's taken up. I've seen that time and again. The Lord is the Lord of the church. So what I'm trying to tell you is, I thought these people will be with me when I go on in the journey. But the ones whom we started with Wilson, he's still there. Praise the Lord. There is that, I remember that ad, Pepsi ad. You remember? Old Pepsi ad. 1998, from 1988, Azharuddin was there. People all are moving. You remember that ad? When Azharuddin was the captain. Each selector tried moving many, many people, but he was still there. Ye dil mange more, that... So in Tamil Nadu, Pepsi is banned. I don't know why. Anyway. Bhavan Toys will get full mark there, problem. So Wilson is a dear brother who has seen it all, been with us all. Priya was there. She's not here today. Okay. Then many people went and left. Of course, they are all in touch. What I'm trying to tell you today is, in our ministry, God never caused us to walk. We thought, okay, humans will be with us, but we found that they were not at all with us. But for the Lord, we would have closed down this shutter. And still, I'm telling you, we are more dependent on Him than ever before. Amen. Amen. Even in your work, you may think all is going well. Suddenly, something will come. You forgot to pray. You forgot to pray. Suddenly, you think, oh, yeah. I didn't pray. That's why God is whacking me with a stick. See, God is not an immediate active, but He will cause us to walk in dependence with His word. Amen. So, after these things, Whatever were gained to me, I counted loss. Doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may... All these things I am doing, why? I want to win Christ. Who is telling this? Saint Paul. My goodness, if Saint Paul is telling this, how much more you and me have to say? What say, brothers? I am counting all these things dung that I might win Christ. Next verse is very important. Verse 9. And be found in Him. I want to be found in Him. How to walk in His light? We have to be found in Him. We need to know as He is. We need to ask the Lord to unravel the mysteries of the One, the lover of our soul. He loves our soul. That's why we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm telling? All right. Now let's go back to that verse. John chapter. I will quickly. If you get it quickly, we will finish quickly. Verse Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings. As I meditated, the Lord was talking to me. 8 denotes new beginnings. The Lord is going to give us and our church new beginnings. God is going to give you a new beginning in the name of Jesus. After 8 days. Hallelujah. 8 days, 8 always denotes new beginnings. The Lord is going to do something new in your life. Get ready. Get ready. How many of you are ready for something new from the Lord? Wow! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! 8 denotes new beginnings. And then it says, about an 8 days after these sayings. So number one step to be found in the light of God is sayings, the word of the Lord. After these sayings. Without the word of God, we cannot experience His light. If you are having a closed Bible, you cannot experience His light. After these sayings, I pray that after you hear the word of God today, you will see something new in your life. Everybody say, after these sayings. See, God speaks to fulfill. God speaks to fulfill. He never gives an empty promise. When God speaks something, He speaks to accomplish it. Amen. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Can we read that together? For as the rain cometh down, can we read it together? And the snow from heaven, and return not thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Hallelujah. So the word of God is the seed to the sower. So today you have come with baskets to gather the seed for your life. Amen. And bread to the eater. You're getting fresh bread. Not cooked in Spencer's or anywhere. Fresh bread cooked in heaven. Amen. And then it says the next verse. So bread to the eater. Next verse, Ashwin. Where did he go? Okay, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy. Now if the Lord looks at you and says a word, it shall come to pass. No matter what your manager says, no matter what your boss says, no matter what the chief minister or prime minister says, what matters is the word from the Almighty God. Somebody said praise the Lord. He's giving a word for your deliverance. He's sending a word for your healing. He's sending a word for your comfort. He's declaring, I will go before you and make crooked paths straight. Hallelujah. I will level the mountains before you. Hallelujah. I will break the gates of bronze and the iron bars. I will go before you. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord will never return void. Hallelujah. While Dr. Singh was in the hospital last year
We were praying, Lord, speak a word, one word. The one who was sleeping next to him, they carried her as a dead body. But the word of God came into his life. Hallelujah. And he is here alive with us, declaring the praises of the Lord. There is nothing so powerful as the word of the Lord. Somebody who tasted the blessedness of the word of God, lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord, for sending your word. I was unworthy. I was poor. I was unworthy. I was in the dumps. But thank you for your word that it caused me to sit with princes. Hallelujah. Saying after these sayings. Now, what were these sayings about? The saying was about the kingdom of God. Let's come back to Luke chapter 9 and verse 27. It says, but I tell you a truth, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. The talk was about the kingdom of God. It was about discipleship. Look at verse 23, 9 and verse 23. If any man, can we read 9 verse 23? And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Some people who are ready to save, I'm telling you, you will lose it. But people who are ready to lose your life will save it. That's the kingdom principle. That's the kingdom principle. Hallelujah. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and loses himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And then he's telling there will be some people who will not taste that until they see the kingdom of God. After these sayings, I want to tell you, in a church service, when you know that the word is for you, remember there is something going to happen after these sayings. Always there is something glorious after these sayings. Always there is something beautiful after these sayings. Always there is the kingdom of God after these sayings. The walls of power, the dark powers loses their grip after these sayings. Hallelujah, the enemy's oppression is destroyed after these sayings. You will gain a new insight after these sayings. Hallelujah, I thank God for whom this word is being said. Oh, I speak to somebody who know that it is for you after these sayings, after the word of God. Number one, the sayings of the Lord. Second, how to live in the light, the word of the Lord. Last, in the conference we read, the entrance of thy word gives me light. Hallelujah. There is nothing else that can illuminate your darkness but the word of God. The second word, second important principle to live in the light of the Lord, the choice of God. If you read here, after 8 days, after these sayings, he took. Who took? Jesus took. He took Peter, James and John. Where were the other 12? See, you want to know about the kingdom of God, it's a choice. It's God does. And I pray that we will all be his choicest people. He took. It's not that, see, I want to tell you, friends, one principle. Today, it's not that you came, got dressed and came here. It's he who woke you up. It's he who put in the dress which you're in. It's he who asked you to take a good wash before coming. It's he who gave you that praise and song in your heart. Hallelujah. In Christian life, there is something beautiful which you need to understand. It's not you who is doing things for the work of God. It's he who is working out things in you. If you say a praise the Lord, it's not your work. It's his spirit which is working inside of you. If you see ways opening before you, if you pass that interview, it's not because of your smartness, it's because somebody who went before you and made the crooked path straight. Hallelujah. If you got that family life which you didn't deserve, it's not because you deserved it, it's because somebody went before you. Hallelujah. Somebody who know what I'm speaking, he took. I pray that the Lord will take you somewhere. I pray that the Lord will take you. It's not your own action, but the Lord will take you. Hallelujah. He took our beautiful the choice of God. He took. I pray that the Lord will take hold of some of you in this place to do his work, to catch a glimpse of his glory. Yeah. All of them did not get a glimpse. 12 people were disciples, but only 3. I was asking God, Lord, why? These three. Why these three? They were the first ones whom the Lord saw, and they were the first ones who were obedient. I'll tell you in a hilarious fashion. Peter left his fish. James and John left his father and the boat and the more you leave things for him, the more he will take you to experience his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many people still have ones coming in the kingdom. My father, my mother, my brothers. It's all there. You have to honor them. But nothing great than being held in the hands by Jesus. Traditions break. Pastor, you know what? I am a Brahmin. Does Brahmin find Brahmin or Shudra or Kshatriya? All are same in the eyes of the Lord. And there is only one place where they are all one. At the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. Somebody said praise the Lord. He took. How many of you understand that he has held you by his hand? He has held you by his hand and he is taking you. He took you to the office where you work. He took you to the wife whom you have to marry. He brought you the children, hallelujah, which you have to rear. He took you and brought you into the church. He took you and gave you a good pastor. He took you and gave you food from heaven to eat. He took you, hallelujah. And that's one principle which we need to understand. It's not I that live. It's he who lives inside of me. Hallelujah. Let's come once again to Philippians for that matter. Hallelujah. Let's come to Philippians. Hallelujah. Important principle. Are you understanding something? I talk from the word of God, friends. I'm not a philosophical guy. Hallelujah. I talk from the word of God. I touch the word of God. I want the word of God to come into your life. Look at 2 and verse, hallelujah, 13. Philippians 2 and verse 13. Philippians 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you. Oh, hallelujah. Who works in you? It's God who works in you. How many of you know that the God is working in you? I seriously somehow have doubt, but I pray that the Lord will dearly work in you. For it is God who works in you. Hallelujah. Both to will and to do of his. So he causes you to think. He causes you to do. It's God who is at work in you. Hallelujah. Thank God it's not any enemy. It's not any wicked demon. It's God that works in you. Somebody put your hands together and give God a shout of praise. How can you remain quiet? Thank God for he's working in you. He's working in you. He's taking you by his hand. He's holding you, giving you ministry opportunities. It is God who is working in you. It is God who is working in you. The choice. He takes us to experience the kingdom identity. So first is sayings, word of God. Next, the choice of God he took. Third, where did he take them? That one verse is so beautiful, no? I'm not going anywhere else, just from that one verse. Verse 28, he took Peter and James and John, went up into a mountain. Up into a mountain, the heights. The third way in which how you can experience God's light is the heights which you travel with Jesus. See, climbing up is not easy. Climbing up is not easy. I remember as a cyclist, while I was going to my school, there will be a slope. I used to release my full brake and boom, I used to go. I thank God now that the Lord saved me from a lot of accidents. Wow, yeah. My parents were not near me. But that was a thrill, you know, to go through that slope without holding a brake. Now if I think, I'm really scared. And with that speed, we climb the other hill which is on the top. So that force which you come down, if you without the brake, it will cause you to come to the quarter of the next slope. And then you just need to go up. Going up is always not easy. With Jesus, you can go into heights. Now I want you to understand the context. Moses was the only one who went up into the mountain. From then onwards, when Israel think about going into the mountain, they say, it's not me. You know, God. But Jesus took hold of their hand and took them into a mountain. I pray that you will walk with Jesus to the mountains which He has for you. Hallelujah. Will you walk with Him? Will you walk with Him? Will you say, Lord, I'm ready for the heights. Don't be settled in the valley. Don't be settled in the valley. Because many things, what the valley mentality is disturbing. But when you walk with Jesus, nothing and nobody can offend you. Hallelujah. See, love is a height. The word of God is a height. One word is enough. When you meditate on that one word, you're walking in a mountain. And when you catch a grip of that word, you have conquered the mountain. You understood what I'm telling? For example, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you really make sure that you want to make it sense, it's a mountain. But when you understand what the Spirit wants to convey, you capture that mountain. How many mountain climbers are here this morning? With a closed Bible, you cannot climb. Hallelujah. But ask the Lord, Lord, let the Spirit of God open the word to me. But the most blessed moment is when you read the Bible and you know that He has hooked you into that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the height which we need to carry. So, every verse in the Bible is a path to go up. We should never be satisfied in the valley mentality. In the valley we have strife. In the valley we have problems. In the valley we have dissensions. Why staying in the valley? Get up on high with Jesus and say, Lord, I want to come with you to taste a glimpse of your glory. That all my valley mentality, everybody say valley mentality will be covered by your love. Amen. The last. Look at that. What did Jesus do? Last verse, word in that verse. Mountain to pray. 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 You want to live in the light of Jesus? Pray. With this verse, one verse only. One verse. Luke 9 and verse 28. In that one verse, I took you to many places. And this is the secret of living in the light. Brother, sister, if you do not pray, you cannot live in the light of the Lord. No. The more you pray, the more you receive His light. Prayer should be born out in that closet which you are alone. When you pray, the Lord will take you to greater heights. Amen. Hallelujah. And as Christ was praying, what happened? 29. The fashion of His countenance was altered. I want to tell you, as you pray, starting from inside out, things change. Things change. Then why are we lacking in prayer? Prayer changes things. Starting from the garment, it changes. You do not know that. But when Jesus prayed, the glory started coming. What He was showing to disciples is, see friend, Moses carried the glory one time. Moses lived in the light one time. You had to put their veils. But now it's time that you experience the same glory. The same experience which I am experiencing as the Son of God. Christ was stating an image. When you pray, you become conformed to His image. And verse 30, suddenly what happened? They talked with Him, two men, Moses and Elijah. Why Moses? Moses was the greatest in Israel history. Everybody thought Moses was, but Moses was talking to Christ. So there is someone who was greater than Moses. The greatest prophet who lived in Israel history was Elijah. So Elijah comes and talks to you. So these disciples always had an impression that, okay, some say they are Elijah, some say they are prophet, but who is Jesus? So one time, suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon Peter and He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Immediately Jesus said, oh, the flesh and blood didn't reveal to you. It's the Holy Spirit which revealed to you. Now, when they are in the Mount of Transfiguration, suddenly Moses and Elijah comes and talks about the sufferings of Jesus. 32. Verse 32. I like it. See, Bible is so human, but divine. When all these glorious things are happening, there were some guys who were in shelter house there. But Peter and they that were with Him were heavy with
especially on Friday morning 5 o'clock. That's where we pray. That's our prayer time. Church prayer time is Friday morning. That time only the eyes become, what is that? Heavy. Just when glorious things are happening around you, we are still heavy with, my goodness, I don't know what Jesus must have felt. If these fellows slept for one more moment, I definitely believe Moses and Elijah must have kicked them out. But Jesus is full of grace. No? Heavy with sin. And when they woke up, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. How do we respond to the light of light? First, identify with the cross of Christ, because Elijah and Moses talked about the suffering. Second, awake from your sleep. It's time that when we see the glory of God, we awake from our... Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Will you awake from your sleep? Sign is Friday morning, 5 o'clock. Awake from your sleep. There are smart people who sleep then and now. If you miss these moments, it will be equally disastrous. Next thing what you have to do in his light is... Immediately Peter said, Master, it's a very good place here. Can I make something? See, when you experience God's glory, you should be still and experience it. You know what I'm telling? This is very deeper secret. We praise the Lord today morning. Very fast numbers. You turn my morning into dancing. And all those things we pray. But there comes a moment where the Spirit of God will cause our entire being to be still. And that is the time where he breaks through. Worship happens in the stillness of your heart. The sad problem is we are always still. That is the issue. But when we experience God's presence and when he takes us to the depths of that stillness, healing happens. Deliverance happens. New truths God will reveal to you. Hallelujah. So Peter, like all of us, hey, I'm so excited. Pastor, why don't we have live streaming here? 3 booths, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We don't want, we will build. See, when you are in God's presence, don't build anything. You stay there. Let him build something for you. Hallelujah. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then what happened, you know? When we go a little more, the Father will take control. Who will take control? Father, the Bible says, while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. This week, the cloud of God will overshadow you. As you hear this, I believe the cloud of God is overshadowing you. See, imagine you go to Ooty. Sometimes when we go to this, that was the first experience which we had in Coorg when we went. We were in a place and we saw the cloud settling on the cloud. But when we go, we don't feel anything. But this was a different experience. The cloud overshadowing them. And the Bible said they feared as they entered the cloud. This cloud only Moses entered back in Exodus. But now in Luke, 3 fishermen are entering the cloud. Friend, you can enter that cloud. That cloud of glory where you commune with him as friend to friend. And hallelujah. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Shut up. In fact, he was telling, shut up. When things are going, when the Lord is doing something, don't open your mouth and negate it. Just shut up. Shut up. When the Lord is doing something, just close your precious mouth and hear him. Hear him. He will talk to you. He will talk to you. See, we have a God who speaks to us. So when we live in his light, the 4 ways in which we can be in his light, I told you. Sayings, choice, heights, prayer. How to respond? Identify with the cross of Christ. Awake from your sleep. Be still. Hear him. And at last, the Bible says, verse 36, and when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, only Christ. See, that's the time. That's the blessedness of revelation. Christ is all. Christ in all. Next time, husband, when you try to take your hand and try beating your wife, remember, Christ lives in her. When you try shouting at your wife, Now I have to tell the wives, because they are more red belt and black belt. When you try screaming and yelling, give Jesus in his heart a preference. Say, come, I'll make your coffee. Let's discuss about this. Isn't that a better way than all Bannerghatta Zoo animals will come there. We needn't go anywhere else, but Bannerghatta Zoo will come there. See, this is the blessedness of living in the light of Jesus. We see only Jesus. You know what, friends? I see Jesus in you. It's worthy running the church. Hallelujah. Somebody said, praise the Lord. If we miss out Jesus in you, we end up in conflicts. We end up in strife. A Christian sees Jesus everywhere. Everywhere. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.